You're listening to a special edition of Away with Words, the show about language and how we use it. I'm Grant Barrett.
And I'm Martha Barnett. There's no other way to say this. It seems that one thing we've learned this past year is that a lot of you tend to think about language as it relates to the bathroom. And sometimes you even think about it in the bathroom.
And why not? It's not like we stop talking when it comes to bodily functions.
That's true. Here's a call from a teacher who had a lot to say.
Hi, my name is Kelsey. I'm from Tallahassee, Florida, and I have a question about the slang to Ralph.
To Ralph? Okay, Kelsey from Tallahassee. Welcome to the show. We'd love to talk about vomit.
Let's talk about Ralphing. You mean as a verb, right? Okay.
Yeah, like to throw up or to vomit, yeah.
You need to tell us why you're thinking about this.
It's a funny story. I was putting my tax forms together this year, and I was sitting in my living room on the floor because I have dogs, and so I was petting my dogs. And my older dog came over and threw up on my W-2.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Talk about expressing an opinion.
So I had to go in the next day and ask my boss for another one. It was just this ridiculous conversation. It was something I never expected to have to talk to my boss about.
Right.
You know? And so I was relaying this story to one of my friends, and I was looking for a more clever way to say my dog threw up on something.
Yes.
And so I was trying to spell to Ralph. And I was spelling it. I was going, gosh, I don't actually know how to spell Ralph. And so I tried to look it up. And, of course, it wasn't there. I don't know why I thought it would be, because it's slang. But I did find the word Ralwolfia, which is a plant, a type of bush, I believe. And it said something in the definition of this word that said that, you know, basically, if you eat small quantities of it, it has a purgative quality. And I thought, like, it makes you throw up.
And so
I was wondering if there was a connection there. This all happened while I was teaching. I'm a teacher. I'm a music teacher. And I was teaching this class of middle school boys, and they got really excited about it. And we were all excited about Ralwolfia, and could this be a connection? Have we found the etymology of barfing? You know, like, it was just really exciting. And so
there's a learning moment in everything.
Exactly. It was a beautiful learning moment. So, you know, I just had to call and ask, because we have to know, you know, my class has to know whether this is the truth.
Oh, my goodness. Unfortunately, no, it doesn't come from the plant name.
Oh, gosh, that's so disappointing.
But
it's
a little better than that, I think. It's onomatopoeic. It comes from the sound that you make when you vomit.
Really?
Sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and so there are a lot of different forms of this. It dates to the 1960s, maybe 1964 or earlier. And you might say you're called Ralph because it sounds like you're saying the guy's name. There's some elaborated forms that came along much later to talk to Ralph on the big white phone with the assumption that your dog didn't actually make it to the bathroom, but if the assumption that you made it to the bathroom, you put the job where it needed to be put.
Right.
Well, it's the same idea with, I mean, some people say calling Earl.
Yeah.
Earl.
Yeah. Yeah. And it might be where the word hurl comes from when you talk about vomiting.
Yeah.
All of these having to do with the sound. It's a very distinct sound that we don't make at other times.
Yep. And we have to find ways to talk about it.
Yeah.
So, Ralphing.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Well, speaking of bathrooms and language, which we are, we also heard from a guy named Jim. He's done a lot of thinking about both.
I noticed not long ago that the restroom walls were clean in this particular facility, and it was a gas station where usually it's a prime target for graffitiists.
And so
I'd started doing a little bit more scholarly research and paying attention, and I see that there's very little writing on restroom walls anymore, not nearly as prevalent as it was just a few years ago.
How interesting.
And I'm wondering what you think about that.
I think you need to go to a lower class of joints.
I otherwise have a life.
That's a fascinating point. You know, I have not seen much either. And in fact, I went into a restroom at a restaurant recently, and they had chalk on the walls, so specifically so people could put graffiti on there. And I remember being kind of jarred by that because I don't see it anymore.
Yeah, maybe it's a trend. I don't know if it's a lost American art form, but I don't know if we can cry about this very much.
I don't know, but Jim, do you think that people are finding different outlets through social media or something?
My theory is social media is taking the place of that particular form of communication. If you look at social media, it's the same basic, mostly the same basic types of communication that you see on restroom walls. Specifically, most prevalent topics are religion, sex, and politics.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that a lot on Twitter and Facebook, and some people are not very discreet about it either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not nearly as anonymous as it would be if you're communicating on a restroom wall, but I think the topics are basically the same.
It's a good theory. I don't know how we'd ever prove that, but it is a really good theory. We now have a place to release all the little goofy things that we'd otherwise, or angry things that we'd write on a bathroom wall.
Yeah, just a way of saying, I was here, look at me. And I think the other thing, too, is, I mean, not that I made a practice of writing on bathroom walls, but I send a lot of texts from bathroom stalls.
Many people do.
Don't
that's
you?
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
your constant companion there, right?
I mean, how
many times have you gone to the restroom, realized you didn't have your phone, and went to get it before you did your business? This is the way we live now.
Yeah, I think it's.
This is not something I plan on. I don't plan on doing a really exhaustive research on this.
Okay. Well, if you want,
I have asked other people.
Yeah.
If you do want to do a read exhaustive research on this,
yes,
Jim, there's a book written by Alan Walker Reed. It was originally published in Paris in the 1930s because American publishers wouldn't touch it. Alan Walker Reed was a great lexicographer. He traveled around the country and recorded the graffiti. He wrote it down and made a study of it. It was eventually published in the U.S. called under the title of Classic American Graffiti. And if you look for that name, Classic American Graffiti, you'll likely come up with the book. It is an astonishing read. One of the most amazing things about it is how consistent graffiti has been over the years. Even though there's not as much in the restroom stalls as there used to be, you will still find some of the same poetry.
That's true indeed. Remember the show where we talked about the graffiti on the walls of Pompeii?
Yeah, a lot, which we can't talk about on the air.
Yeah, but there's one that has a lot of staying power. I wonder, O wall that you have not collapsed, so many writers' cliches do you bear? That sounds like the internet.
Well, as we were saying, Martha, some things never change. And here's something else that never changes. You put the public in public radio. And we need for you to support this station.
Grab your phone or go online and get ready to help. Here's the number to call.